I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This ain't a wave or a phase, cause all that fades.
Zion Williamson was in action last night for the Pelicans against the Chicago Bulls on national television. Took 13 shots, made 12 of them, finished with 29 points. Incredible performance. We'll get into that in the next segment. Jeff Calkins will join me a little after 5 o'clock. Ahmad Brooks from ESPN, who's going to be color analyst for Memphis Temple on Saturday. He's going to join me about 5:25, 5:30. But right now, he's a college basketball analyst for ESPN. It's Jay Billis. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parrish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Hey, it's Gary. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Gary. How you doing?
Everything's perfect. I appreciate your time, and I want to get into your time in Memphis. You spent with Penny Hardaway on campus yesterday. But first, you're a smart guy. You're also a former elite athlete. When you watch Clayton Kershaw last night, and afterward, he sort of says, you know, what people say about me in the playoffs, I guess it's true. You know, I failed again on this big stage. Again, this is such a big example of a drastic difference between what this guy is in the regular season and what he is in the postseason. How much of it is a mental thing compared to whatever else it could possibly be? Because that's the biggest story in sports today. I think we lost Jay Billis there. Phone got disconnected somehow. But I'm just interested, like, what do other athletes think when they watch somebody who's so incredibly gifted and blessed with unreal ability and an incredible track record of high-level success to the extent that he's won all of the individual awards, he's made $260 million, and yet on this big, big stage, he comes up short once again. Jay, I think you heard most of what I said, but just I'm interested in your thoughts on when you watch somebody of the level of Clayton Kershaw fail once again in the postseason, how do you make sense of that?
Well, I'm still trying to make sense of it because I grew up in Los Angeles and I'm a gigantic Dodger fan. So I was watching that game just with my heart in my throat for him. I can't make sense of it. How you can be sort of one of the all-time greats in the regular season and have that kind of luck, if you want to call it luck, in postseason. And especially, you know, he's only given up two back-to-back home runs twice in his career, and both have been in the postseason.
Right.
And it's really stunning. But he's a Hall of Fame pitcher. But, you know, the Dodgers haven't won the World Series since 1988. And they're kind of looking like the Braves did back when they had, you know, Smoltz and Glavin and Maddox and all those guys. And they were either in the playoffs or the World Series every year, but couldn't seem to knock the door down. That's becoming the feeling with the Dodgers right now. It's killing me.
Yeah, my condolences. That was rough to watch. And like if it's possible to muster sympathy for somebody as incredibly gifted and wealthy as Clayton Kershaw, like I felt sick for the guy last night because you know that I don't care how much money you got, that eats at you pretty intensely. I'm talking to Jay Billis here from ESPN. Like I mentioned, you were on campus yesterday with Penny Hardaway. What did you learn from Penny Hardaway?
One, he's the real deal. I hadn't really known him before yesterday and spent much time with him, but he's the real deal. And there's an energy, you know, Gary, you're around it all the time. There's an energy around that program that is really impressive. And what a bunch of good guys they have on that team. James Wiseman blew me away. Just an engaging kid that's a great player. And just thinks on a different level, and a little bit like Zion Williamson last year, where, you know, different personalities a little bit, but similar in that that it's not all about them. I mean, whatever they do, they're bringing their teammates along with them, and they're not going to try to to stand out from their teammates aside from the way they play. So I was really impressed. And look, they're really young. So are they going to have some growing pains and all that stuff? Yes. But I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the year if we're talking about them among the you know, the truly elite teams, because I'm not sure this year is going to be one of those years where you know, you've got a bunch of teams that sort of separate. I think there's going to be a lot of volatility this year.
Well, even Michigan State, you know, they are most people's preseason number one, and I guess they should be, or certainly in the conversation. Reigning Big Ten Player of the Year, 32 wins last season, returned three of the top four scores, went to the Final Four. But, like, it's weird because it's a college basketball team that is the betting favorite to win the championship, and yet I don't think they've got a lottery pick on the roster. I'm not sure they've got a first-round pick on the roster. So it does seem to, you know, set up, as you point out, like, it's a little more wide open than maybe it feels in other years.
It feels that way. Yeah, it feels that way. We'll see. I mean, you know, I always like to use 2015 as the example of a year where, you know, I felt like we knew who the best teams were. You know, it was Kentucky, Duke, and Wisconsin, yep. and that was it. And if it would be a gigantic upset if they didn't get to the Final Four, and all three of them did. So I don't think this year is shaping up like one of them. And I was at ACC Media Day the other day. And we were talking about players that were coming back and everything. And it was kind of hard. Yeah, you almost had to sit down with a piece of paper and write them down that, you know, who's really good that's back. And it turned out they're of the top 15 players in the league last year, the top, you know, sort of three first-team All-ACC, second-team All-ACC, third-team All-ACC, there were two players back out of the 15. And they were both third-team All-ACC. It was John Mooney of Notre Dame and Jordan Wara of Louisville. And I was telling somebody, like, God, I can't remember that ever happening before. And it was Rick Bozich. And Rick said, well, it's never happened before. And I go, well, maybe that's why I can't remember. I felt better about not remembering it. But that's the kind of year it seems like. And I don't think it's just the ACC. I think it's a lot of different leagues that lost a lot of their top talent. And so somebody else is going to have to step forward.
I'm talking to Jay Billis from ESPN. He's on Twitter at Jay Billis. Back to Penny Hardaway. He's created lots of headlines for lots of different reasons. A, for just being the coach of his alma mater. B, for securing the number one recruit in the country, and by extension, the number one recruiting class in the country. C, by predicting recently to our friend Dane O'Neill at The Athletic that he's going to win a national championship this year at Memphis. How is all of this stuff playing outside of the market? Obviously, people here love it. I'm curious, how does it play in ACC country or outside of the Memphis market?
I don't know. I haven't heard much about it. I haven't heard people complaining about it. It's not been like a Baker Mayfield type deal.
Right.
But I know that it's been a disruptor. You know, he's been a disruptor. And I mean that in, like, he's getting players. And people now are looking to Memphis going, uh-oh, you know, this is an issue. How good they're going to be, and the fact that you know, guys, you had two guys last year, Boogie Ellis and what was it, DJ that decommitted,
right?
So you got one guy decommitted from Duke, the other guy decommitted from Kentucky, and that doesn't happen very often, and that raises some eyebrows. But the thing I like about it, Gary, is that you know, it may sound brash to people who didn't hear the context or didn't hear the tone of it, but. It's not been disrespectful in any way. I think it's been one of these things of like, no, look, this is a competition, and we're entered into it, and we want what's ours. And I think when you hear it out of Penny Hardaway's mouth or the players, like, all the players are really like respectful, nice young people, and all the coaches are really respectful of the process and of you know, like, who's come up sort of the harder, more unconventional way than Penny Hardaway has. Like, he could have coached in the NBA and then, you know, tried to come into college. He coached in high school and AAU and then did this. So he's worked his way up, and it's really impressive to see what's being accomplished there. And obviously, you know, but like, I don't know what we want, you know, people who might not like it, I don't know what they want them to say. They want them to say, hey, you know, we're going to give it the good old college try and see what happens. You know, everybody's goal should be to win a national championship. That's a good thing. So just because he voiced it, I think that's good, not bad.
I'm talking to Jay Billis from ESPN. You mentioned earlier that, yeah, there probably will be some bumps in the road. And I agree with you because, you know, they're likely to start five freshmen, and that's a rare thing in college basketball. And there's no example of a coach starting five freshmen and not having bumps in the road. Everybody remembers the Fab Five getting to the national championship game. What people don't remember is they went 11-7 in the Big Ten and got a sixth seed in the NCAA tournament. Meantime, your old coach has, you know, in recent years been relying heavily, including last season, on first-year players, one-and-done guys, similar to the roster Penny has at his disposal this year. Do you have a sense for just how difficult it is to coach or to be this reliant on first-year players? Because I get the sense that it's more difficult than John Calipari and Mike Krzyzewski probably make it look.
Yeah, I think it is more difficult. It's just sort of the process is accelerated, and you're not building for next year and taking lumps for next year. Everything's got to be this year, and because you don't know that you're going to have anybody back. And in fact, you know, there's no guarantee that Trey Jones is going to come back. You have no idea. So I think it becomes more important to have some older players that you can put in leadership roles, even though it's difficult to lead when you're not among the best players. So, I mean, he's asking, like this year, he's asking Jack White and Javon Delorier, both seniors, to be confident leaders when neither one of them are going to be among the top five scorers on the team, most likely. They weren't last year, and they're unlikely to be this year. Maybe they will be. Who knows? But this year's team for Duke will be a little bit different because they're not going to have the super dominant scorers that they had last year. You know, last year, I think, R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson combined for, like, 45, 46 points a game. And then you had, you know, the eighth pick in the draft that scored 13, 14 a game. And that, you know, that's a lot of air taken out of the room. They're going to have more guys that are contributors at a higher level this year to be really good. And I think they will be. But part of it, Gary, as we were talking about before, is, well, how good are the individual teams going to be? And then the other part is how good is the competition they're going to face? Because, you know, some of these, like the ACC, I'd be surprised if the ACC is as powerful this year as it was last year. So it's an opportunity for some of the teams that were in the bottom half of the league last year to try to make a move up. And, you know, will Louisville be the best team in the league? They could be. You know, that's going to be interesting. Same thing in the SEC. The SEC is going to be really good again. But where's the power in the league going to be? Like Kentucky and Florida are their two best teams, I think. You know, what's going to happen with the teams that were in the bottom of the league? You know, how are they going to react, and how are they going to do against one another that's going to vault them up in the top half?
Wrapping up here with Jay Billis from ESPN. Last thing before I let you go. Earlier this week, your old coach, Mike Krzyzewski, came out in favor of student-athletes being allowed to profit off of their name, image, and likeness. He said he was glad that California passed SB 206 the way California passed SB 206. I know this is a topic that you're passionate about. It's a topic that I'm passionate about. Ultimately, how much does Mike's voice help this cause? And how far do you think the NCAA is going to be willing to go as it tries to, I guess, meet somewhere with California law and other state laws that are sure to come?
I think Coach K's voice in this is going to be received largely based upon what you think of him. If there, you know, Gary, there are people out there that love him. There are people out there that don't care for him. And most of it has to do with whether they're Duke fans or not Duke fans.
Right.
So, you know, like there are certain times when he's in a room, if he wants to get something passed, if he's against it, it has a better chance of passing,
right.
You know, stuff like that. So I don't know how it's going to ultimately be received. I think it's good when everybody speaks their mind. You know, like Mark Few said something the other day about, I think it was a bit of a misstep in the way he characterized it, but he got pilloried for it.
Right.
I think it's better when we sort of, you know, argue the point rather than the person making the point and all that stuff. I think that gets lost a little bit. But I do think that to the second part of your question, what is the NCAA going to do about this? Very little. I don't think there's going to be a lot of movement. And I think that's been forecast by Gene Smith, who's co-chairing the Committee on Name, Image, and Likeness with Val Ackerman. Gene Smith, as you know, is the AD of the at Ohio State, and basically all he has said is, well, this is incredibly complicated, and how could we ever figure it out? As if it's some gigantic Rubik's Cube, and they can certainly figure it out when the money's going into their pockets. When it's going to somebody else, they can't figure it out. I don't think they're going to do anything. What I do think ultimately will happen is I think the NCAA is going to wind up suing the state of California and trying to get this into the court system. We'll see what happens. I don't know. But Congress has taken this up, and that's sort of the big stick in this. And then the Justice Department has also been active in looking into this, sort of their antitrust division. They had a workshop on this a few weeks ago. So it's sort of the nightmare scenario in a way for the NCAA is they've got government. And honestly, I'm surprised by this. I didn't think government would – whether it's the federal government or state governments, would get this far, and I couldn't have imagined any state would pass what California did unanimously with the governor signing it. And I kind of thought the way Governor Newsom handled it, not that it was bad, you know, he can do whatever he wants, but boy, it seemed like it was very much a middle finger to the NCAA saying, hey, we're California, and you're going to move on this, whether you like it or not, because California's doing it. And I was a little surprised by that. It didn't bother me, but I was a little surprised by it.
Yeah, I was too. That is Jay Billis from ESPN. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at Jay Billis. Last thing, do you know when we'll be able to see your time with Penny on ESPN or wherever it is going to be broadcast?
I don't know. I mean, I think we'll see it at different parts during the season. I know the first game I've got with Memphis is going to be in Portland when they play Oregon on November 12th. So my guess is it'll play before then, because that'll probably be the first sort of really, you know, kind of big TV game they've got, at least on our air. So I'm looking forward to seeing them in action. They're going to be really good. I don't know how soon they're going to be really good, but it's going to happen.
That's awesome. I will then try to get you back on here before that game, and we'll talk about that in more detail then. Jay, you're the best, man. I appreciate you being here.
Great being with you, brother. Thank you.
I'll see you. That's Jay Billis from ESPN on Twitter, at Jay Billis. And he said he'll be on the call for Memphis, Oregon, that game in November in Portland. So we'll get Jay back on to discuss that as it gets closer, because that's probably going to be a matchup between two top 20 teams, two teams that enrolled top 10 recruiting classes. Just like Memphis has two five-star prospects, so does Oregon, one of whom, C.J. Walker, who is from Orlando and was recruited by Memphis after Penny saw him go off at Peach Gym a couple of summers ago. So that's going to be a really good early test for both young teams, because, you know, Dana Altman's got more coming back than Penny does at Oregon, if only because Peyton Pritchard's back, and, you know, he's a possible, if not probable, preseason Pac-12 player of the year. But they're going to be relying on first-year players, same way Memphis is going to be relying on first-year players. So that'll be a good early test for both of those teams. Big thanks to Jay Billis for being here. When we come back, Zion Williamson was on national television last night. Pelicans and Bulls, 12 of 13 from the field, 29 points. First rookie to score 29 points in a preseason game in 3 years. He looks just as awesome in the NBA as he was looking in college. Turns out all these easy looks he got in college, he can get them at the very least in NBA preseason games. Talk Zion next.